Everyone, I welcome you to the General Council meeting. Firstly, acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I note that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City of Marion website. I now ask elected members if they would like to declare any foreseeable conflict of interest in any item on the agenda. There being none, we'll keep going. Would somebody like to move that the minutes to the General Council meeting held on 14th February be confirmed? Moved, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Byram. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Can I have a motion that the communication reports, the Mayor, Deputy Member, the Deputy Mayor, elected member report and Chief Executive and Executive reports be received? Thanks. Moved, Councillor Byram. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Right, thank you. Obviously, they go back to November last year, but still of interest. We have three deputations this evening. The first being in relation to Nanagaya Reserve. So I understand there will be someone from the local community. Please come forward. We'll find a place for you at the front here. So for all of the deputations, you have 5 minutes. That's the maximum. If you finish a bit early, that leaves time for questions from councillors if they wish to ask any. And Ms. Dixon here will show you how to use the microphone when you get up here.
Your Worship, thank you for this opportunity to speak this evening. Councillors of the City of Marion, I speak to you this evening in objection to the removal of the playgrounds and tennis courts from Nanagai Reserve, Hallett Cove. I live close by Nanagai Reserve with a young family, and we use these facilities multiple times per week and would be devastated to see them go. Over the summer break of this year, I conducted petitions to save these facilities and collected 384 signatures, mostly from local residents. This demonstrates that there is significant local community support to save these facilities. Your proposal from September last year is to move the playground from Nanagai Reserve to the existing playground at Capella Reserve. I have several objections to your proposal, which I will outline this evening. City of Marion's open space policy suggests a local space as being within 500 metres walking distance from one's home. Nanagai Reserve is one of the northernmost spaces in Hallett Cove, and removing the playground from it would leave 74 rate-paying properties without a local playground within this 500 metres radius. That is 74 properties that would no longer have the enjoyment of this city that your policy seeks to provide. On the other hand, the site at Capella Reserve is exclusive to only 15 properties, with the vast majority of surrounding properties having access to other local parks within 500 metres. Further to this, access to Capella Reserve from the north is hampered by steep declines and no paved pathways, and from the west by an inaccessible valley, reducing further the number of residents that could easily walk there and would consider it their local park. Your proposal is to develop a neighbourhood-level playground at Capella Reserve. However, Capella Reserve is only a 500 metres walk along the Coast to Vines Trail from the regional-level playground at Glade Crescent Reserve. There is no need for two higher-level play spaces within such proximity on the same trail. I realise your intention for a neighbourhood-level playground at Capella Reserve is to leverage and build upon the existing facilities in the park, namely the popular skate park, the soccer pitch, car park, and the soon-to-be-built toilet block. However, I counter that it is not appropriate to have shared facilities between a young children's playground and a teenager's skate park, and the soccer pitch is so frequented by off-lead dogs that it is practically a dog park, making it an even less welcome destination for families. I note that your survey received 48 positive responses to moving the facilities to Capella Reserve, and acknowledge that there are properties toward the south that would receive some improvement from your proposal. But this does not justify the high cost of taking the only local playground from 74 northern properties, negatively impacting many more that frequent the Nanigai Reserve facilities, and going against the wishes of 384 petition signatories. I have no objection to having community facilities on Capella Reserve, but it cannot be considered an alternate local space to Nanigai Reserve. And if it is a matter of oversupply, I would conclude that removing the playground at Nanigai Reserve is not the best solution and would result in an undersupply for residents in Northern Hallett Cove. My suggestion is that while Capella Reserve may be designated a neighbourhood level open space, that it should at most retain only a local level playground to support residents who have better access from the south and occasions when it hosts organised sport, and that the funds saved by doing this should be used to keep the play space on Nanigai Reserve. In addition to the play space, the tennis courts on Nanigai Reserve are used regularly, at least daily, both by locals and by people who drive from other areas. On any given day, it is common to see couples and friends playing social tennis, parents playing tennis with their children, or more serious players practicing their serve. The courts are open to be freely used by the public, making them easily accessible by anyone who wants to have a hit, and we'd like them to remain this way. There is only one other set of public tennis courts in Hallett Cove, which are in the far south of the suburb at Hallett Cove Beach, so it is hard to perceive an oversubscription of courts in the area. Nanigai Reserve has several positive attributes, many of which are not offered by adjacent parks. It is a tranquil, natural space with afternoon shade and abundant bird life from the trees. It has level ground, as proven by the existing tennis courts, which is a rarity in Hallett Cove. There is a space for a potential car park. It has utilities connected with the existing toilet block, and it has a local community who care about its future as a public space for the enjoyment of everyone. We see a lot of potential for Nanigai Reserve and would love to see some development, but I'm not here to ask that of you. I'm here to ask you, as my petition did, to simply leave the playground and tennis courts as they are so that my family and our neighbours in the local community can continue to enjoy the space for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you. That was right on 5 minutes. Any pressing questions before Mr. Zwar leaves? No, then thank you, Mr. Zwar. You've made your point very well, and we'll take that into account. I'll ask in relation to McConnell Reserve Courts, I'll ask Mr. Trevor Smith to come forward, please, and he can address us as well.
Your Worship, the Mayor and elected members. My name is Travis Smith and I live adjacent to the McConnell Courts Reserve with my wife Pam and our three children. This deputation speaks to the petition tabled at the Council meeting on the 14th of February that requests the Council to retain, renew and maintain the McConnell Reserve Courts. The McConnell Reserve Courts are located on the eastern and western side of McConnell Avenue in Marino. The whole area has been defined as a reserve since at least 1922. Some 95 years. The reserve is unique to the city of Marion. It's positioned on top of a hill and it offers spectacular views of the coast and suburbs while providing a safe and accessible location for residents to enjoy tennis and various other activities and pastimes. Residents benefit from social interaction with neighbours and the sense of community that develops around reserves like McConnell. There are 190 petitioners in total and they are represented by the residents in the chamber this evening. It should be noted that the feeling regarding this reserve is so strong that if we wanted to get 190 here tonight, we could have. The petition was collaboratively organised in response to the community consultation information and questionnaire document distributed to residents in December 2016. Residents are concerned about a number of issues regarding the document, but what drew the most alarm amongst petitioners were the inclusions of terms such as consolidating selected courts, duplication and oversupply of tennis courts in the area, and some will be removed. Sceptical petitioners were worried that what appears on the surface as a tennis and netball review could easily become a review of open space in Marino and the disposal of community assets. Many petitioners have lived in Merino for a long time, some more than 40 years, and they've fought for retention of the reserve before, most recently in the early 2000s. And many know what is gone is never replaced. While collating the petition, I heard numerous stories of residents maintaining the courts and reserves over the years. Concerned residents, together with the Merino Residents Association, lobbied Boral to repave the courts in early 2000 as some recompense for the suffering caused by their asphalt plant. At this time, Council refurbished fences and built a gazebo. Residents have worked hard over the years to tidy and maintain the grounds and courts, which they do to this day. This includes mulching, weeding, sweeping, line marking, repairing and even replacing nets. Nigel Wesson has been the tireless mainstay of the group for many years. People gather on the courts to watch events like the New Year's Eve fireworks along the coast and in the city. They go to sit and watch the night sky and meet family and friends in a safe place. On a personal note, my three children use the courts almost every day, including multiple times on the weekends. Together with many other children in the area, they enjoy the facilities, and I doubt there's a child within 500 metres of the courts who hasn't learnt to ride a bike, scooter or a skateboard on the McConnell courts, much safer than the surrounding roads. The main focus is always tennis. As an example, last Sunday afternoon there were 13 residents enjoying the courts in different capacities. Seven were playing tennis, two were playing netball, a father and young daughter were playing chasey while two were just enjoying time with their family. Other topics overlaying this issue and must be considered include the possibility of future increased density of residential development in Merino, the changing demography of Merino as younger families move in, and research that points to a drop in the health and fitness of our children. Although destination parks seem to be the current flavour, small informal reserves like McConnell and Nanigai in Hallett Cove provide residents continuous access without the burden of packing for the day. The council points to the courts at Carey Parade, Kingston Park or Bandon Terrace as locations residents can play tennis. But how many of the people using the courts the other Sunday night would have walked down the hill to any of these locations and home again with rackets, scooters, bikes and children in tow? It would be impractical and unsafe, and as a consequence, a game of tennis would end up being something only enjoyed a couple of times a year. The current configuration of the reserve and courts is user-friendly, but examples of improvements as suggested by petitioners are resurfacing the courts to allow the enjoyment of current activities, a playground for children, and additional shelters and seating, especially on the western side, to make the area more user-friendly. In conclusion, it's my firmly held belief that the reserve in its entirety is not ours to dispose of. We're merely the current custodians who are charged with the responsibility of preserving and improving this unique asset for future generations. The petitioners request that the Council retain, renew and maintain the McConnell Courts Reserve, and if we can help as a group, we would love to be of assistance. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions or questions?
Make an observation. I'd just like to thank the petitioners that they hammered home the point.
It's not really the time for debate.
Well, I just want to make comment that they were very respectful in voicing their opposition, and I think they should we should note that. Quite often we do get personal attacks. We didn't get any of that with both of those. So I think that's a positive thing, Your Worship.
Thank you. Yes, they both presented very well. Well, thank you, Mr. Smith. You may resume your place in the gallery. Now, obviously there's some flexibility to the council agenda, and quite often we try to deal with substantive motions relating to petitions simply because there are often a number of people in the gallery interested in the outcome. However, we have the tennis and netball review as an item later in tonight's agenda. However, that's a very lengthy item and I don't propose to bring it forward now because there are other matters we really need to get to which may or may not be of interest to you. And, of course, the issues that have been raised by the two speakers have broader implications, and there is a report coming to the next council meeting as currently planned, which will have a bearing on that in terms of reserves, playgrounds, etc. more generally. So I can't give the delegates or their friends and family the satisfaction of kind of resolving those issues on the spot, but please keep in touch with your local councillors or with council staff regarding developments, both the minutes of tonight and what might happen at the next council meeting. We'll be here until 9:30 or 10. You're free to go if you wish to. You're welcome to stay if you wish to. That's up to you. But we'll move on to the next delegation or deputation from the Marion City Band. So I'd ask Mr. Darren McDonald to come forward, please.
Hello. Firstly, I'd just quickly like to note that my name's John Shinnick and I'll be standing in for Darren McDonald this evening. No. Okay, so good evening, everyone, to our elected members, City of Marion staff, Mayor Hannah, and also members of the public present tonight. My name's John Shinnick. I'm a playing and committee member of the Marion City Band, and I'd like to take the opportunity through tonight's deputation to report to the Council on the band's progress over its 2012-17 funding period, and also outline some of the key elements of the band's proposed 2017-22 funding agreement. So Marion City Band is now 5 years into its 2012-22 business plan, and as you'll be aware from tonight's proceedings, we're at the end of the 2012-17 funding period. So as such, 2017 has been a really opportune time for the band to sort of reflect on the targets set in our business plan. In my last deputation to the Council in 2012, I noted that the key rationale for our request for an increase in funding was the considerable expansion to the band's provision of services to the community, these being music education and public performance. As outlined in the proposal document, our membership has continued to grow steadily over the 2012-17 funding period, going from 73 members in 2012 75 members in 2012 to 93 at the beginning of February. And then since the submission, I can report that due to the commencement of our music education partnership with Clovelly Park Primary School, that number has since increased to 105 members. So approximately 40 of our 105 members are participants in our music education program. And looking at the other service, our public performance, a review of our performances over the 2012-17 period found that we had 163 public performances, which equates to a performance every 11 days over 5 years. So we've been very busy. Council support has played an integral role in facilitating this growth in our organisation. Specifically, the funding from Council has underpinned the successful implementation of the band's instrument purchase and maintenance plan, which is a key aspect of the band's operations in providing affordable music education opportunities and performance opportunities to members of the City of Marion. Okay. So also, in addition to this, it's also helped considerably with the band's recent occupancy of the former Edwardstown Senior Citizens Hall and the expenses associated with our occupancy there. So moving on to briefly outline the components of our proposal, there are three elements as per the 2012-17 agreement. So under previous agreements, the Council has provided two free uses of the Marion Domain Theatre with a view to helping the band be as self-sufficient as possible in fundraising to maintain the band's income. The band proposes that this continues in the 2017-22 agreement. The second element of the proposal is a flat payment per year. The band proposes that the base figure be set at $33,842 for 2017, which is consistent with the funding as paid in the last year of the 2012-17 agreement plus CPI. And then the final element is that we propose that the CPI indexation that has been applied in the 2012-17 agreement be continued. So in conclusion, I'd just like to really thank the Council and City of Marion staff for their support over the period of the last agreement. We regard your support as something that's integral to our success, and we don't take it for granted. And I guess I'd just like to thank you all for the time spent in consideration of our funding proposal, and I look forward to taking any queries you might have.
Well, thank you, Mr. Shinnick. What I propose to do, if members are happy, is to bring forward the band item while Mr. Shinnick is here. We may have some questions for him initially. And I do that in contrast to the other two delegation topics because it's a much more confined topic, so it seems to make sense. But I seek leave of the meeting then to call on the band item. If there's no objection, that's what we'll do. Very good. Just for members' references, reference, it's on page 24. Sorry, that's the deputation. It's on page 73 of the agenda. That's right. Perhaps I'll ask the questions of Mr. Shinnick first, because then we'll get into our own debate. But I've got a couple to kick off with, Mr. Shinnick. So it's certainly a very thorough written submission, which is great. There are a couple of queries I had about that. So, for example, when we look at the last 5 years and the next 5 years as forecast, the honoraria seems to jump up from 6-something to 11-something. So can you just explain that to members, please?
So I suppose the increase in that figure accounts for firstly, the increase in the amount of time involved as membership has increased on the part of certain committee members, such as the Secretary, Treasurer, Event Coordinator, Band Registrar, Musical Director. The other element of that increase is that as the band has expanded its music education services, we've brought on music tutors with qualifications in music teaching, and it's well under the value of their services that they're paid, but we do pay them a small honoraria for the time spent with teaching music learners as part of the education program. So that is the main factor that accounts for the increase.
Thank you. The other one I was going to ask you about was membership. It's wonderful you've highlighted the increase in membership. When we look at the last 5 years, the membership income from fees has built up to over $11,000, which is great. Then in the budget for the next 5 years, you're assuming it's going to be around 7,000. So with the increase in membership, I'm not sure why the membership income decreases.
I'd have to have a quick look at the document. It's quite possible that's an administrative error, but I would anticipate that, yes, with the increase in membership, the income from membership should increase commensurate with that figure. So it appears that it may have been an administrative error with the formula used to calculate those amounts. It does appear that it's only increasing by CPI on the forecast budget. The one where you're talking about is 7,000 and 7,105. The increments are much larger on the other.
No, so you may have misunderstood my question. Forecast budget 2012 to 2017, the 2016-17 year, which one would think would be very close to being accurate, just over 11,000 in membership income. When we look at the forecast for 2017-22, the forecast for the first year, as opposed to the last year of the previous one, 2017-18, goes down to 7. So it goes from 11 to 7, but you've got increasing membership.
Yes, so I suppose I would probably need to investigate the reasons a little more closely for the for that discrepancy that you've noted. It is possible that in the Treasurer's review of the finances, because that's a forecast figure, that 11,000, it's possible that the band's income didn't actually reach that level, and due to that consideration, they've revised the figure.
Yes, it's possible. Right. Now, Councillor Westwood? You're right, Councillor Hull.
Thank you for coming tonight. It's always good to hear from the groups that we have representing us, and gives us more detail as well. I've been a supporter of the band since off and on since 1993, and I don't think I've ever put my hand down in terms of financing the band. It's always gone up. However, I've had this question for several years in terms of the marketing, Councillor Gard. The promotion of your sponsor, the City of Marion, or the Township of Marion, the community of Marion, is not as prominent as I would like. That's my personal view. I often see the band at different parades, and I struggle to quickly identify the band as being the Marion band. I'm just asking, could that actually be addressed? I'm not saying to have Marion emblazoned all over your back, but just do it better, subtly, of course, and professionally. But that's my only request, Mr. Mayor, is to actually capture the Marion aspect of the band better as a marketing.
Mr. Schinnick, a brief response?
Yeah, I think that's something we can take on board as a project for the near future. In terms of, off the top of my head, what I could think of in terms of our representation of the City of Marion, there would be certainly on all of our web promotions, and there's the City of Marion logo on through the band's website, branding, all those things. So perhaps we could look at things like incorporating it.
Right. Other questions? Councillor Crossland.
A couple of questions, Your Worship. The first one is, after all these years and developing business plans, why is the business plan to continue to wait for council handouts rather than be funding your own sport, hobby, just like everyone else does in the City of Marion?
I suppose that there are some substantial differences between what's required to participate, say, in your local netball program and the accessibility of playing an instrument. And given that our mission is making music education accessible and affordable to members of the community, something that people might not be aware of is the cost of an instrument, such as anything varying from a trumpet, which is on the more affordable end of the spectrum at, say, $2,000, compared with a tuba, which is something of the value of, $12,000. Some degree of council support is required to deal with those realities of operating a musical organisation the way that it currently operates. We're always looking for ways to make our own income, but under the current structure, there's no realistic prospect that through things like making concert performance income, that we could fund those kinds of expenses independently.
Thank you. I mean, my concern is that we've got people volunteering in scouts, in sports, and all the membership in those different activities have to pay for travel, their own strips or equipment, and that comes very expensive. We even have Olympians that travel the world, and they come from Marion, but we don't actually give them really anywhere near the support. So I'm just a bit concerned that we're actually making payment to people to deliver a service which isn't available to a lot of our other volunteers.
Mm. I suppose I would also note that band members do bear the entire cost of their own travel to interstate competitions, much like other organisations would. The really key difference in terms of what this funding enables is the purchase and maintenance of instruments, which are, as I understand it, legally property of the council, not the band itself as a separate entity. So I certainly take your point that there are other organisations that would be bearing certain expenses, but I would also say that our members do pay for a substantial, you know, the council money would not be used for things like funding interstate trips. People fly and have accommodation at their own cost when the band travels. So hopefully that's addressed some aspects of your question.
You do get three questions. I'll come back to you in a sec. Two quick things. One is that you might want to check the advice you've received about the property, because the band is an incorporated association, as I understand it, so you probably own the instruments that you purchase. But if not, I mean, quite happy to have property of City of Marion stenciled on them. The other point I was going to make is that in the budget, obviously buying equipment is a substantial part of what you do in terms of expenses, but there's nothing in there for income as from the selling off of old stock in terms of the equipment. Do you not get anything back from that?
That's more or less because of the growth of the organisation. We really can't afford to sell off instruments. They have to be used until the end of their life, basically. As it is with the commencement of the Clovelly Park Primary School partnership, even with the very generous funding that is currently going towards that, we still struggle in some respects to get enough instruments for the entirety.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Crossland?
Sorry, the last question. It wasn't that long ago, I remember, that members of the band were here wanting council to provide them with a new home, and as a result of that, council did provide them with a hall of their very own, and I believe the rent is next to nothing, very, very small compared with other volunteer organisations. And what I found then interesting was now you're increasing the amount council has to give you because you've now got this extra amount of money to pay. So we're basically giving you the funds to pay our rent, which is already really low.
Yeah. So basically what we've proposed isn't an increase on what's been previously funded. It's just indexed by CPI. So there's no difference to the funding requested beyond that.
Right, and now the Mayor would like to make an apology, because I see in the agreement that it says the City of Marion retains ownership of the instruments and we pay for the insurance. So I just thought I should clear that up. All right, we're looking for a motion from someone. There is one more question. Let's go through the questions first. Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I've noted there that, you know, there's the activity to do free for the City of Marion. So just questions from the public. Sometimes they want to ask us what value we get back from different organisations like your own. So if we were to pay for those occasions that you perform for us, what sort of amounts are you normally paid?
So the standard amount for a non-charitable engagement is, I believe, $400 at present, and that's what we would charge to, say, if we were doing a Christmas pageant or a a general concert at the request of an organisation. So that's how we would try to make income through our public performance activities.
Are there any other questions before we go? All right. Councillor Valescu to move.
I'm happy to move as is. I can understand that some members may have some reservations. I think we've got a group of people, young people, that have dedicated a lot of their time to learn a craft and to share that craft throughout the city and with other areas. They do it in a competitive way. They can't sell off the instruments because they still need them, even though that some of them probably seen better days. I would like to see this information updated, however, as far as the membership, make sure that's all correct and bring that back to us so we can table it, we've got it on record. And whilst it would be nice to have fundraising activities where people pay a lot of money, unfortunately, brass bands are not attracting a lot of money. People don't pay a lot of money for the other brass bands we have in other public entities, like some of the emergency services and things like that. And the fact that you can actually bring to kids, and that's the main thing, if people are wavering, that actually bringing a love of music and an interest of music to kids, it's not only about music, it's about changing the way they think, their brains operate, and I think that's really important. And we don't get much of that within the city of Marion. A lot of the stuff we do is to do with sports, and that's good, and other things, but we don't do that much on the musical side. So I wish you all the success with that, and I'll move it as is.
Look, I'll just intervene again to declare that I am patron of the Marion City Band. I don't believe there's any conflict of interest whatsoever. I don't believe it has any bearing on the debate, but for the record, I did want that noted. Thank you. Councillor Westwood to second.
Yes, I'd like to congratulate the band on being so well run and also the valuable cultural contribution that they make to the community. And also providing young people with a musical interest, something that they can actually do around the place. If you weren't there might be a few who wouldn't have that much to do, so it's really great. And I do understand that some young people who really couldn't afford or don't quite get to or couldn't get to music tuition, you have helped and you continue to help, and that's really great. I also note that you do actually fundraise considerably, and that's, I think, a credit to you. Thanks. I, of course, second the motion.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I did propose an alternative motion, but I believe it might be too different to actually move as an amendment, so I'll foreshadow another motion should this one fail. I'm speaking against. This current motion goes way above and beyond anything we offer to anybody else. It completely goes against our resolution for equity and fairness, so this would be in complete contradiction to that. There's very few organisations that actually get any form of benefit similar to the band. I think two, Gallery M and the Galleon Theatre Group, again, not in the same league as the band. None of our charities, volunteer groups, or any of the others get anywhere similar to this amount of funding. So I'd like to foreshadow a slightly different motion, one that thanks the band, retains the agreement we've got to give them peppercorn rent in the facility they asked us for either last year or the year before, and that they can actually obtain funding from our community partnership fund, from our youth grants, and from the plethora of other grant opportunities council offer. In fact, I know that not only did they maintain all these extra benefits, they actually got a community grant as well on top of all these benefits, which I was a bit surprised about. So I would definitely foreshadow another motion should this one fail.
Is anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Happy to speak in favour of the motion. Could I just say that my speech in favour of the motion is in recognition of your success. I've been watching, not only in terms of the reports that come to council, but my own observations when I attend the Christmas parade, for example, and I do wish that we actually could see Marion better, but anyway, I've made my point. Look, equity and fairness. Is there some part of the city that you don't go to? Is there some part of the city that our citizens don't have the opportunity to see your good work and listen to your band? I think not, Mr. Mayor. I can't understand the equity and fairness bit, but the band travels the length and breadth of the city and beyond, interstate even. And in terms of funding, how much money, members, do we pour into swimming? How much money do we pour into tennis? How much money do we pour into lots of things? And what about the opportunity for people who have an interest in musical instruments and playing in a band? It's a long-held tradition in local government for cities to have a band. It goes back to medieval days, I'm sure the Mayor would agree. Victorian. And I just think that it helps us have a sense of place, to recognise the Marion brand, to recognise the place we live in, and to see you're doing so well gives me some pride in the fact that Marion's capable of not only resourcing a band like that, but to actually attract the talent from our community to play the instruments. Mr. Mayor, in closing, this is not about the Mayor going on a tennis trip to Melbourne or the CEO playing golf. This is a bread and butter activity for local government, for our council. It's money well spent. I urge you to use the money well and to make yourself more resilient and self-sufficient, and I wish you well with the motion.
Is there anyone else speaking against the motion? Then I'll ask the mover, Councillor Blescu, to close the debate, please. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, it's carried by majority. Thank you. So that agreement will be executed. Thank you, Mr. Shinnick. Thank you to all band members attending. I was very pleased to see the band perform in both the Sydney a couple of years ago, where I paid my own expenses to visit, and Gawler last year. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it to Launceston for the national titles, but I do wish you very well for that. Thanks, Mr. Shinnick. You can go back. Thank you. Now, we have a petition. Thank you, Councillor Appleby, for bringing this to our attention. I believe the display in question was in about August last year, I'll ask you for a personal explanation if you wish to express your disgust, etc. I was going to canvass with you the idea. I was concerned that maybe a number of the petitioners hadn't seen the pictures that they'd signed a petition about, and I wonder if we should send out copies of the images to all of the petitioners. But I'll ask you to respond.
That's up to the council.
Of course.
Sorry, you're right. Oh, I should. Oh, that's up to the council. I wasn't proposing that. I was simply going to note the petition. That was my approach. And as to the lateness that you've pointed out, there was one of the petitioners had trouble tracking down. He lost some of the petitions, hence there was a delay.
Well, I'll invite you to move a motion regarding the petitions.
Sure,
then.
I just move that it be noted.
And is also that the petitioners be advised or not? Or will you do that?
I don't really see the need to advise them of anything.
I'm sure they're following it closely, so you're just moving that the petition be noted.
I'm just moving that it be noted.
That's seconded. Councillor Crossland, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Thank you. Now, we do have some confidential items on the agenda, but I notice that there are a number of members of the public in the gallery. It might be convenient for them if we address that issue later. Members happy for us to do that? Otherwise, we'll be clearing out the room for about 20 minutes. All right, I'll just keep going then onto the committee recommendations. They can be moved on block on pages 51, 56 and 63 of the agenda. Do I have someone to move? Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? All that's carried, all those against is carried, carried by majority, I think. Now, corporate reports. On page 69, you'll see revised terms of reference for the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee. Councillor Byram, looking to you.
Thank you, Worship. So I'd like to move that we adopt the revised terms of reference for the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee, please.
Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood? Anyone, any comment? Then I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Please. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We go on to the tennis and netball review on page 120.
Can I ask a question, please, Your Worship?
Yes. You mean on that committee item?
Yes. Yes. The terms of reference, sure. I was told earlier that the minutes were being changed for the Infrastructure Committee. If I can just go back. The terms of reference are correct, but there was one slight amendment in there, and I didn't know whether everyone had seen that. We were voting for all of that because it was incorrect in the minutes, but the terms of reference were correct.
Could I have a member for staff to clarify? Now, we dealt with the minutes. They were approved a few minutes ago. We just dealt with the terms of reference. They've been approved. Well, it would have been moved in accordance with what's printed on the page in the agenda. So, can one of the managers please explain what's going on? Just have this discussion with the governance manager openly. We've approved, as council, we've approved the minutes of the 7th of February meeting, but what's being brought to my attention by the chair is that they're not correct. Yes, I didn't hear anyone speak up at the time, so the question I'll just ask the governance manager. Do we leave that for the committee to correct when it reviews its own minutes and they in turn come back to council?
Yes.
That's probably the best solution. Thank you. Tennis and netball review, page 122 of the agenda. Now, I'll just kick off with a question here. It is obviously comprehensive. One of the things that struck me, and overall it looks like it's good, looks like it's heading in exactly the right direction, but it's odd, I find, that after some very vigorous intervention from Tennis SA about what the report should look like, what the recommendations should look like, what individual clubs should submit when we consulted them, that very little mention of them, particularly not in relation to funding opportunities, in the report. So I'd be interested to hear a response from management. Thank you.
through the chair. So Tennis SA did work with staff in undertaking the review. They attended multiple meetings with clubs in terms of that, so there was a joint approach. At this point in time with this report, there is funding from Tennis Australia of $13,000 towards the Hallett Cove Beach Tennis Facility, and a report will come in March indicating that contribution. The other information for Council is that they run two rounds per year, so every 6 months. There's a grant program run there, and we will be applying for that, and individual reports will come to Council detailing that.
Thank you. So it doesn't actually say that in the report at the moment, but that's useful information. Thank you. Any questions before we actually get into the motions and so on? So I'll go around clockwise. Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, I've declared an interest in this matter before in regards to Seacombe High. My daughter is a student there now, and I have declared an interest before. It could be just a standard class, I'm not sure, but it's a big school, but it is on the books tonight. So, I'm happy to step out if necessary.
Well, there are various options, Councillor Hull. I mean, it does. Can I just ask, does your daughter actually play tennis in as some sort of special subject or training or something?
Not that I'm aware of, but she's only been there this term, so it's only early days.
Well, ultimately, the conflict of interest provisions are up to the individual elected member to interpret. From what you're telling us, I actually don't see there's a problem there, because that's a substantial class of people. If your daughter's just one of 800,000 children or something, I don't believe that's a problem. If we thought it was more serious than that, we could deal with that item separately, but we will certainly note it that you've mentioned it, and it is very much up to you. I, as chair, I don't see that there's a conflict of interest that would warrant you leaving the room.
If it was the music room, that'd be quite different, but I don't intend to reduce or increase this in any way myself, so I may stay in the room then.
All right, thanks for mentioning it. Are there any questions of management before we get into the debate? Councillor Bilescu, then Councillor Crossland.
Look, I think this is quite complex, and I just want to know if this is going to be the end of it or whether we'll come back, because one of the questions that issues that I had raised with one of the clubs in my ward was if this was passed, what would be the contingencies? Have we thought about how the season works? So if we're going to change something or get rid of something, have we got a plan to do that in a way that doesn't affect the season of the sport that's being played?
Well, Councillor Vescu, can I just say part of the recommended motions indicate a staged response. I would also indicate that essentially this is the decision in principle to take in relation to each site. I think what you're asking about are the sort of operational issues that arise out of implementing the decision, which is not really for tonight, but I'll invite Ms Dixon to respond.
Through the chair, that's correct. We'll continue to work with clubs, so if works are being planned for their site, that we work in with their schedule and their competitions, and as in resolution number 3, a separate report will be brought back to council as well, detailing costs and timing.
But yep, I understand the concern. That's fair enough. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Worship. This has been a long, drawn-out, difficult process. I note that when we started this project, it was on the basis of a report which suggested that Council should be looking at reducing tennis courts to 50. I know in the Southern Ward and Coastal Ward, it was a difficult task to look at which ones would be the most beneficial to save. It basically works out that we should have just over eight courts. We'll call it eight per ward. I notice that we're now at a final report where we're retaining 61 courts. So that tells me that in other council areas, they didn't manage to meet the target, and I wonder why, and why it's not happened the way it was supposed to, when that's how we were told to actually treat the matter in our own ward.
Might be a political question, but I'll ask Ms. Dixon to respond. What have they done in other wards?
Through the chair, I probably need to take that on notice because I don't have that detail here broken into wards. What I would say as well is the number of 50 was an indication. I think what's been in terms of 50 courts for tennis, we're making progress to that. We've reduced from 87 to 61. I would assume council will continue to want to review its assets and look to further optimise them.
Okay. Is that a question, Councillor? Well, then I'm ready to take a motion. Councillor Blescu?
I'll move as is. I think there does need to be a bit further work. I do note, members, that we do have the community partnerships funding that's been sitting there. So I think that could be a consideration for some of these infrastructure costs. I also do want to note that we did have a couple of deputations tonight where people didn't want their courts removed, and I think that maybe the number for 50 might have been, I guess, a bit too arbitrary. What we have got, though, is we've got in this report on page 122, 24 of the courts are multi-purpose. 37 will only be tennis only. And that's, so there are, you know, there are options where we are actually expanding the use by maintaining the courts. We may find that we may have to keep a few down south. I think that sometimes when you get such a huge disparity between what the survey says and what a petition says or what the community is telling you, you really need to revisit that and have a look at it. And I think there's something to be said about the walkable neighbourhoods. The people that talked about the First Reserve, Nunungai, they've got a place where they don't need council to ask them for a $140,000 toilet. So, anyway, I'll leave it at that. I would have liked to see some funding also from Tennis SA, and I would have liked them to speak to the local members of the wards before telling the clubs what they can and can't do. So that's all I have to say.
Just before I go to a seconder, I did have a question, and it does relate to the motion that you're moving. In clause 9, there's a suggestion of an extra 0.2 full-time equivalent to support the Nunungai Reserve, Capella Reserve option, and I'm just staggered that we're budgeting for a person working one day a week for 12 months to design that or manage that project beyond our additional staffing. Can I have some comment about from management about why that's necessary?
Through the chair, so the 0.2 will be added to existing part-time staff hours in the open space planning, and at the moment our open space planning team are at capacity in terms of the program of works that's been endorsed, so this would have a resource impact, and that additional 0.2 FTE is requested.
I thought you might say that.
Can I just clarify, Your Worship? I want us to revisit that whole thing down there. I don't want us to be voting now to close any of those parks down. So,
well, what is your motion? I thought you were moving as printed. And just to clarify, the motion is, if you look at paragraph 3, the motion as printed brings back a report about McConnell Reserve, the eastern side in particular, after obtaining or after considering community feedback, and paragraph 8 is allied to that to investigate the significance of the western side of the reserve, and paragraph 9 talks about the development of a precinct plan for Capella, including what happens to Nanagai. So what do you want to do?
Well, I'm concerned about the precinct plan wording, but I've got southern area councillors telling me they're happy with that. So.
Right, so it's is that a question, Councillor
Crossley? A clarification for the record. I misread the dot point 61 tennis courts. Councillor Valescu is correct. 24 of those courts are multipurpose, not tennis courts. It was just a bit misleading, so I apologise for that.
Well, thank you for the clarification. So I'm looking for a seconder. Councillor Gard, did you wish to speak?
I do, Your Worship. This is a subject that we've put an enormous amount of time into, both the elected members and our management and staff. Excuse me. I think the outcome, as we now see it, is very much what we envisaged. I think the vision was right in the first place, that we had a dramatic oversupply in tennis and an even more dramatic undersupply in netball, which is not there yet but is moving in the right direction. I'm one of the reasons I'm seconding the motion is having regard for the fact of the clauses that you've just mentioned, Your Worship, because the matters of McConnell and Nanagai are in my ward, along with Councillor Crossan, and they deserve a great deal of scientific, if you like, examination. And they are getting that and will get that yet. So I want to assure people that are involved that this is not a light decision. It's not a grab for assets or a liquidation of assets for the sake of it. It's a matter of current use, previous use, future use, all of these things rolled together. But I do commend the motion as put, and in so doing congratulate those that have been behind the development of it.
Anyone speaking against the motion or amending? Councillor Pryor.
I just have a question. My question relates to how Tennis SA feels about this whole review that's been completed. I mean, we had them come and see us, and we were under the impression that they didn't, initially we were under the impression that they didn't want to weigh into this, and they came and told us that was not the case. They wanted to weigh in, they want to be informed, they want to have some say in this, and they're not mentioned in this at all, really. There's one reference to them in the table, and how do they feel? I mean, are they happy? Is this something that they would endorse, or is this something they're going to come in the paper in a week's time and go, we knew nothing about it? So.
Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, I take members' feedback that we could have provided more detail about Tennis SA, so I take that on, and I can confirm that they are very supportive of the project. They've worked collaboratively with staff and clubs throughout the consultation.
Excellent, thank you.
Anyone speaking against the motion? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously, thank you. Right, our next item on page 163, the coastal walking trail. Now, is this one where we have any alternative wording, or is it all sorted? Over to Crossland. Now, I may not be the only one, but I know that one of the local residents, Mr. maybe I won't mention his name, but certainly one of the local residents has been indicating his point of view about the construction of a trail as proposed, but maybe you'll cover that, Councillor Crossland. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. As in the notes, the background to this is, my understanding is there was a trail as part of the South Australia Coastal Walking Trail, which did go through the City of Marion for a number of reasons, which have not been provided. The trail was damaged and not replaced. And again, I've not been able to locate any reports as to the reason why it wasn't replaced. This motion is just to endorse Council to engage an engineer to have a look at what the cost would be to replace the broken part of the trail, but also to consider any impacts it would have on the coast and any other impacts. There has been a resident interest, and I have spoken to that resident. I have assured them that there will be an opportunity once we have more information, and if this is something Council wants to put forward as a future project, there will be a future public consultation.
Thank you. Who's that seconded? Councillor Gard speaking.
Very briefly, Your Worship, it's an extremely worthy project. It serves South Australians far beyond our city and certainly far beyond our ward. It's long overdue, it's a missing link, and I only wish we could have had it up and running a little earlier, but it is now starting to gain a bit of bite and momentum. I do commend it.
Thank you. Over the summer, the Mayoress and I walked the distance from Port Stanbeck to Glenelg Jetty, admittedly over three separate days, but it was delightful, and I do know that the part you're talking about does need some work. Is that opposed by any speaker? No, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we turn to the leasing and licensing policy. Now, I know that management have had some feedback before we got to this. There are lots and lots of little details that are potentially upsetting to clubs, so we need to pay close attention. I'll ask Ms. Hampton if there are any suggestions from elected members that have been written up, any variations that we need to be aware of.
Through the Chair, yes, there have been some feedback from members, and we have prepared some alternative motions for consideration. These are around the appendancy with the subsidies, and it's been suggested that they be referred to as discounts. There's also been some feedback regarding the section on social inclusion, and we have prepared some alternative motions. Also in the report, we did make reference to Meals on Wheels and alluded that Council may want to consider some changes to the policy, so we've also prepared a recommendation around that, as well as community gardens.
I believe that this is one of those curly topics where there are so many different variations and probably possibly a diversity of views that we should suspend standing orders and, like I've done with some previous matters, go through a list of contentious issues. We can have our say briefly and then formulate that into a motion. Councillor Vlescu? Thank you. Is that seconded, Councillor Westwood? All those in favour? Right, thank you. Now, what I'll do then is just quickly go through some of these issues. First of all, I want to, can I just take a straw poll, and I'll be doing a few of these, but possibly the biggest change is this notion of a minimum rent of $1,000. About 19 organisations are affected by being dragged up to the minimum. Is that right, Ms. Hampton, about that? Less than that? Now, are people comfortable with that in principle? Put your hand up if you agree. put your hand up if you disagree. Well, that's interesting in itself. Something to comment, Councillor Crossland? Just on that point, Councillor Westwood?
As far as minimums are concerned, as I believe that if... I mean, one of the reasons for considering that, I understand, is that it's if it's below a certain amount, it's not economical for us to actually charge anything because it costs us more to process it and administer a lease than it does to collect the money, other than the money that we get. But so I would suggest that if it's not worth it, we don't charge anything, or $1 rather than $1,000. That's the way I'd go. Thank you.
And just on that point, it's not necessary really to charge a dollar, because we can issue a licence which has the same effect as a lease in essence. Just comments on that point, Councillor Hull?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Look, this does sound, to some people, might be brutal. But the reality is that the community vests the responsibility in us to maintain and supply the amenity of these facilities. And over the years, it's been demonstrated that the current system is not doing that. It's not allowing us to maintain them or supply them in an adequate way. We've had some ludicrous situations where the big organisations like Across the Road have paid, 10 cents or something, where the RSL Club over the other side have paid a lot more. So there's been a lot of inequities and a lot of unfairness that's been addressed with this. But look, this one, like the tennis and the netball, there's no perfect science to it. You know,
arbitrary.
It's difficult for us, and it's something we've had to do, but the intention is... The ultimate game is to provide better and more amenity, to be able to maintain the buildings in a fashion that is not only going to provide a safe and comfortable environment, but to also start planning about replacement. Look at the situation with the basketball across there, who were a sublease to the sporting club, where no money was put aside for the replacement of that building over a 30-year period. So, you know, this is going to... It's not perfect, but it's going to go a ways to address that. And I'm happy to reconsider this on case-by-case basis on areas that we identify as we go forward. Like, let's face it, nothing is set in concrete, Mr. Mayor. We have guidelines, of course, but if people come to us with circumstances that are clearly... a hardship, then I'm willing to look at reviewing this. So, you know,
Councillor Hull, remember we've got about 15 of these points. You're not going to get 3 minutes on each one.
That's a general comment about most of these things.
Yeah, sure.
Look, I do have a concern about charging people to use a community garden.
We'll get to that. You know, what about this issue of the minimum 1,000, Councillor Telfer?
I'm struggling with one club that is not a strong club, but it still acts as a social support for a group of people. So at what point do we say go elsewhere, or how do we work with them to create something that's more viable but also more realistic?
Well, I can just indicate, given that you know, we did a straw poll and it's 5-all. I'm not in favour of a $1,000 minimum. So, because I'd rather have no rent. If our formula comes up to $1,000, I'd rather just not charge people. They'd still have a licence, they'd still have maintenance obligations, but I would just be providing the service. So it's not user pays in that regard, but for those who Obviously, if you're getting into the over $1,000 territory, you've got a more substantial building, and you really have an obligation to try and make sure that it's well used 7 days a week if possible. So I don't have a problem with that. But at the lower end of the scale, I do have a problem with it. Councillor Westwood?
Yes, I'm sorry. It's been suggested to me that I maybe declare a conflict of interest as I'm involved with the Trott Park Community Garden. I'll put it before you if you think that is a conflict of interest of any kind.
We will be discussing community gardens. Again, I think this we're all involved in different clubs. You could put all of us down for that one, but we will note the objection. As chair, I don't believe it's a problem, but it is up to you what you
may,
do with
may
it.
I say that I don't feel I have a conflict of interest, because in both areas I'm just working for the community. There's no personal interest particularly. That's the way I feel.
Fine, but we'll note your membership of the Trott Park Community Garden group. So look, that's a fundamental one. Can I ask Ms. Hampton, if we want to formulate a motion now that doesn't have the $1,000 minimum, is it something that should come back to a further council meeting? Because we don't want to do surgery on the spot. I don't mind doing first day, but not surgery.
I think we'd need to take in consideration that the financial modelling was done based on this $1,000 minimum, because council was looking at a no change to the cost to council, and we've calculated that the insurance is now paid by council. So there would be a cost to council if we change that. And I think perhaps if further, if I broke down each club, because when you do look at some, the aim of this was to be consistent, when you do look at some of them, they are financially able to pay more. Just because they're being impacted now by introducing the 1,000 minimum does not mean that they can't pay it. They are able to approach council for hardship, where we look at their financial situation and consider it. So I think the policy does enable clubs to be supported.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's, while we're here and discussing things informally, the Meals on Wheels issue. So we're talking about organisations, and there could be others, I suppose, that have provided facilities to council. They've actually built them. I understand that's the case with the Edwardstown. I'm not sure about the Warradale, but I'm told the Hallett Cove as well. So it's been an agreement ever since the building was built that they pay only $1 rent. So this issue has been brought up in consultation. Ms. Hampton has come up with quite a good solution, saying that that's taken into account. If somebody has actually built the building that we want to then charge rent for, they have an enormous virtually a waiver of rent. Councillor Crossan, you wanted to speak on that point?
Yeah, I think that's very similar to the way in which we have some kindergartens. My understanding is that, unlike other council tenants, Meals on Wheels built it so they could provide that service for our residents. And also, unlike other tenants, Meals on Wheels actually pay all the maintenance and everything on those assets. Council's really putting nothing in at all. Is that correct?
So they're paying the difference there. They're paying the structural maintenance as well as the routine maintenance. We expect everyone to do the routine maintenance, but they're doing minor capital upgrades or whatever as well. Okay, Councillor Byrom.
So a question on that. They currently are paying their building insurance, but by what you said, Carol, council will now pay building insurance?
That's what we're saying for everybody.
Yes, so it means that where they were paying 1,160 building insurance, if we're paying that and they were paying 1,000 rent, they were still better off.
There are some inconsistencies depending on which building they're in. And, of course, one of them, Marion Community House, corner of Oaklands Road and Morford Road, there's more than one tenant there. So
and it's something I raised with Ms Hampton, but what's the answer there? Who pays rent to whom? Is there a subtenant, or do they both pay rent to us? And what about the Southern Justice Group? So is the capital value or the market rent there divided in two? Okay. Let's turn to the topic of community gardens. Who thinks there should be no rent for community gardens? Hands up if you do. Who thinks they should pay minimum? No? Okay, I think a majority saying no to that, so that's something we should take out. Now, there's a grey area beyond that, because it makes me think, well, maybe we shouldn't be charging rent if there's no building involved. But then we have the case, of at least one case I'm aware of a netball club that books to play courts right through the winter. They don't use a building, but they have that booking, and they're a tenant at the moment, aren't they? So they pay us rent, but not very much, because they use little. I was going to use an Australian vernacular, but they pay little. So the question is, do you want someone like that paying rent?
Don't they need to pay towards the upgrade?
Well, if they weren't paying, or if Ms Hampton at the moment, like that netball club, if they weren't paying rent, what would they be paying, if anything? Or what do they currently pay other than a rental amount?
That would be all that they pay. I have put a suggested recommendation as to how to handle that. And I've suggested that...
Can you just remind us?
Considers as part of the tennis and netball review introducing the fees and charges a casual rate for sporting groups for use per season up 6 months.
Well, that's more sensible than a rent, because it doesn't seem to be like a rental situation to me. Councillor Blescu, then Councillor Holt. Take that on board, Councillor Hull.
It's a good point, because they've got exclusive use of the council facility. Well, you know, maybe there should be a court fee, for example. But I'd like to know, Mr Mayor, netball is a big sport in Adelaide, and in the parklands in particular. What is the City of Adelaide's solution to this? It's because it's on a grand scale in there.
Ms Hampton, there's a question there. Do we know what the netball players or association pays the Adelaide City Council for playing in the parklands, if anything?
I haven't looked at that, but I could easily look at it. I did look at Uncle Pringas, and they do charge that six seasonally. I think it's $357 for a 6 month season.
Okay, I've got a couple more for you, councillors. Political signage. You have to read the fine print, but the ruling is that there would not be political signage allowed on council facilities. Put your hand up if you're in favour of that.
To ban it.
Can I make a comment?
And if you believe it should be allowed as currently? Right, so a majority think that it shouldn't be allowed. I think it may need closer definition, but I think we're talking about registered political parties or candidates for local, state or federal elections. Probably needs a bit more definition.
And council elections as well.
Didn't I say local? I think so.
Oh, sorry. Might have missed that.
Councillor Blescu.
Okay.
Point of order.
A point of order, what is it?
When is there an appropriate time to declare your party political affiliations when you're banging the drum to allow...
So, order.
Party
so
political
what, advertising. So what's being raised is a potential conflict of interest. It's up to the member. Councillor Valescu, do you want to say anything about that? Okay, go ahead.
And also there's the other type of political advertising where it might be that the federal government or the state government, and it has the, you know, could be seen as political. For example, when they had the
Oakland Crossing or something.
No, the Education Revolution stuff. Oh. It actually had to be covered during the state election. So there's various levels. So I think if council's going to make a decision, they really need to look at all of those. And obviously, I would consult with the people that put up the signage as well. I think it's appropriate.
Sure. I think we might have to revisit the question of definition. Councillor Crossland.
Probably along the same lines. I know a lot of clubs survive on sponsorships, and like it or not, a lot of federal and state members do give money to clubs, which help them survive. So we're basically denying in that sponsorship, and I don't want to see council sponsoring any more clubs like we do others. And the other problem we've got is we quite happily accept state and federal funding, and a lot of building programs in the past have involved signage saying funded by blah blah blah, which would also be political signage.
I think
if they wanted that on the building.
Okay, a couple of points, Councillor Crossland. First of all, I think you'll find those plaques and signs generally say a federal government initiative or opened by the Minister for Sport, something like that. So that is not in the same category as a big smiley face of your local candidate. And secondly, I do want to say that we're not stopping members of parliament or councillors or candidates from sponsoring or donating money to clubs. It's just whether there is a sign affixed to a council facility. That's the point of objection, that there's seen as some link or endorsement. If it's a, you know, Glandore Community Centre, vote one for Fred Nurk, you know, that's the issue.
I do understand that, but I think the definition of when you're looking at federally funded is still a political statement, depending on which party's in power.
Well, there are two sides to the debate, I realise that. But we've actually acknowledged earlier on that a majority are happy not to have political signage on our council facilities. So I don't know that we're not here to debate it. Councillor Westwood?
Very briefly, I just want to bring up a philosophical or whatever point, that we are actually custodians of community property. It's not that them and us. So we are taking care of what belongs to our ratepayers, and we have to be careful to recognise that and to allow them to have as much use as possible, keeping in mind our push these days to have people active. If they have to pay and raise funds and do a whole lot of jumping through the hoops, they're less likely to be going out and getting fit, and that's one of the things we want them to do. Thank you.
Councillor Westwood, just getting back to the basic point, why this review? One was the equity issue, and that is to say that over time it's grown up higgledy-piggledy. Some clubs pay for water, some don't. Some pay for insurance, some pay for something else, and that's unfair. The other issue is to make sure that our community facilities are well used for and by the community. So you're right, we are the stewards of them, but then when we leave a community group or a sports club in place to run that facility, we want to make sure, A, that they're running themselves well and that they are making full use of the facility. So the rental formula here has some sticks and carrots in it to say that if you're encouraging, you know, others to come in and make use of the facility, then you're going to get a reward, in a sense. So I think that's the context, but most of us would agree with you that it's not there for us to make money from these things, and at $1,000 a year we're not really going to, but we do want people to be responsible. But yes, point well made. Councillor Hull?
Money in any way. What it will do, Mr. Mayor, is is actually create a situation where we won't be seen as being partisan.
Yeah, well, that's the point I've made. The point's been made,
it's Councillor. A partisan
I'm going to move on.
Just one last little quick bit.
Quickly.
If we actually, say, apply for a federal government grant, it could actually be a detriment when the federal member sees the smiling face of the other member on the fence. I think that's an issue.
Sure. Just in that rental formula thing, the word discounts instead of subsidies, anyone have an issue with that? It's just, I think, more what it says it is. Now, the social inclusion criteria, Councillor Appleby, do you want to speak to that? You had some concerns?
Yes, Your Worship. I just think it's a bit discriminatory as it stands. Contradictory in the sense that it says non-discriminatory and then we have a number of attributes which are encouraging groups to discriminate by. So I think it would be better just to reinforce some suggested wording that I sent through, that groups are open to the public and let the groups decide how they want to run their groups and not dictate to them.
Yeah. So, well, what do people think about Councillor Appleby's wording? It is saying the same thing, but without identifying particular groups. Is that a fair summary, Councillor? Yeah. So, I'll just ask for a show of hands. We're outside of standing orders at the moment. All those who agree with that, with Councillor Appleby's proposal, raise your hand. Those who are against prefer the current wording? No? Well, I think there's support for that, so we might revisit that. Now, I think what I'm going to suggest is that, well, see what you think, members. Comment? Management? Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, we just wanted to bring Council's attention. If you want to make some changes to the community gardens and what rents applied or no rent, we suggest that we bring a report back to Council, because there's been previous reports considered by Council and motions passed regarding community gardens, so it would be best if we brought a report back.
That's right. It ties in with we have a policy, believe it or not, on community gardens, so we need to get our ducks in a row. So, councillors, my suggestion is this has been a really healthy discussion. I think we had to have it in this forum, but I'm suggesting to you that we put it off to the next meeting. Next meeting or longer? Next meeting? Just to... So that we have a motion that allows for there to be no minimum rent. That would be useful, yeah. But we're talking about next council meeting? For those in the gallery, it's a long lead-in time in preparing the papers when we get these hundreds of pages for the council meeting, so it probably needs to go off to the second meeting in March. Now, that's what I'm suggesting. What do you think, members, before we resume standing orders? Councillor Blescu?
I just want to make a comment in regards to the discounts. As long as, I guess, the process is as less onerous as possible for the clubs involved, because I think they may think that they require certain evidence or change what they do.
Well, I think it's been explained that there'll be a two-page pro forma at the most, so it's large. So,
but I saw that in the report, but could we actually have someone go there and actually ask, okay, what do you do? How do you do it? And then they can actually say, okay, that fits into it, and maybe tease some of the stuff they do to see whether they fit the criteria.
Councillor Hull?
I'd like to ask for the public record that will this policy, and I'm sure it's in here, but I just wanted to hear this said publicly, all those state-owned and operated, well, state-owned kindergartens throughout the city, and there's quite a number, will they be finally paying their way? This is probably the biggest issue in this whole thing, where for years the council's been propping up the state...
Well, to answer your question, no, they won't. They'll still form a special case. Do you want to talk to that?
Ms. Hunt.
It is covered in the policy. We talk about 6.3, council will consider a lease or license agreement with school or kindergartens. The intent is that it be a land-only lease and that they pay for all their repairs and maintenance and renewal, and that we ensure that that amount is equal to the market rental rate. To the value of. We won't actually receive the income, but we'll have evidence that they've undertaken all the repairs and maintenance and renewal in line with our building condition audit. So council will not be funding that.
That has to be a net benefit.
Well, I think it's in council's benefit.
That's what I'm saying, net benefit to us.
Yes, yeah.